the chairman's vision for how we're going to deal with the challenges of anti-access aerial denial strategies that we may likely have to face in the future. And it's going to be a guide to help us move forward on the development of Joint Force 2020. The key thing we know about the future security environment is that we're, in order to have the freedom of maneuver and the freedom of operations we know we're going to need, we're going to have to develop capabilities both to overcome geographic impediments to access as well as anti-access strategies employed by either state peer-like competitors or non-state actors.
So it sounds like battles like dogfights over the Pacific and land war armies meeting in the middle of a battlefield is not really what we expect to engage forces in the future.
Well, it's a little bit more complicated than that because you have the traditional domains of land, air, and sea, and also space, and we've added the new domain, which is man-made, which is cyber. And in order to have the freedom of operation, to be able to operate in all those domains, you have to be able to integrate your operations in each of the domains. So land operations at time may enable maritime operations, just like air and maritime operations enable land operations. And then cyber operations then are going to have to be also integrated in this. And what is different about what we think in the future is that integration is no longer going to be limited to a single domain to allow those operations to take place, but you're going to have to integrate your efforts across multiple domains at the same time and at levels lower than what we've done in the past.
Give me a sense of how that's being done now and how you hope it's going to change in the future.
We do it now as a joint force. So everything we do now is joint. What we believe is going to happen in the future is that this joint integration is going to happen at lower levels just because of the dynamics of the potential operating environment that we'll see. What's different, I think, is the complexity of what you're going to have to do in domains. For example, when the concept first came out, people said, well, cross-domain operations is just like combined arms. Well, it's similar to the concept of combined arms, but combined arms was basically limited to a domain, and what you were doing, you were applying fires to be able to facilitate maneuvers. Cross-domain operations mean that actions that you take in a domain have to be directly synchronized with actions in another domain in time and space to be able to achieve the result or the effect that you're looking for. And that's what's new about this.
So let's talk about, first of all, troops and manpower. What does this all entail for the type of training and the type of people that you recruit and train in the future?
The six traditional warfighting functions of command and control, intelligence, fires, movement and maneuver, as well as sustainment and also protection, you have capabilities that have to be developed as well as in the areas of information ops and engagement. You focus then on these capabilities, and that's going to deal with not only people, but also training and also material solutions.
So you need a different kind of tail almost to support the troops that are actually performing the act of getting the access.
That could be a part of it, because one of the things that you're going to have to deal with in the future in an A2, an anti-access aerial denial environment, is the fact that likely adversaries are going to have greater precision than they've had in the past. And one of the things, for example, that can do to your tactical formations is it could make you spread out. And the more you spread out, the more complicated your combat support and combat service support operations become.
We are speaking with Marine Corps Lieutenant General George Flynn. He's Director of Joint Force Development. And talking about the platforms and equipment, how will those needs change as we gear up around this idea of joint force development?
Well, I think the key thing is if you look at the concept and you look at the capabilities that are in there, one of the things that when we take a look at the budget submissions this year, one of the things that the Joint Operational Access concept will be used for is to measure the effectiveness, if you will, of the budgets to meet the capabilities that are being called for in the Joint Operational Access concept. So it really is a lens for you to evaluate the programs moving forward.
One of the things about the different domains, land, air, sea, those are ones that the military has had a lot of experience with. Cyber, obviously, is the newest, but cyber's got to be, as you said, integrated through them all, kind of marbled through, if you will. How do you go about doing that? Is there a part of this framework that's going to talk to that issue as well?
I think one of the ways you deal with this new domain of cyber and its impact on the other domains is we have to do clearly, you know, some concept, additional concept development, but we also have to do experimentation. And in our exercises that we run throughout the combatant commands, that's one of the key things that we're going to be doing in the future in these exercises, is integrating cyber operations into those exercises so that we can take lessons learned that will further inform on the development of capabilities in the future.
And when you say cyber, a lot of people think of cybersecurity, but you're really talking about more cyber as in network, as in IT, as in information flow.
Well, cyber is a domain that we are continually trying to figure out how to operate in, and to not only defend your networks, but use your cyber capabilities to achieve effects that enable your conventional forces. So it really is. The fact that cyber is a man-made domain is going to give us some challenges in the future, and how you integrate that new domain in your other operations is something that is going to be the focus of continuing experimentation, concept development, and programmatic development.
And how much of all this new thinking came from lessons learned in Iraq and Afghanistan, or was it ongoing anyway?
Well, the development of the joint operational concept has been informed by, obviously, lessons learned from the past 10 years. It's been done in a number of war games and experimentations that have been done by the services going back at least 2, maybe 3 years. So you have something here that, you know, is the result of concurrent and parallel planning with ongoing operations, as well as, if you notice, we published it after the strategy was published, and that was because we wanted to make sure that the joint operational access was in line with the strategy that the President and the Secretary of Defense released in early January. And if you note in that strategy, it calls for the development of the capabilities needed to execute the joint operational access concept as the one area that was called out in the strategy.
And so what is your timeline for having this capability in place as something operational?
I think our timeline for getting this in place is a rolling timeline to develop the non-material, the training, the doctrinal information, and also the material solution is a rolling timeline now between now and 2020, where we're going to progressively develop these capabilities. So there isn't, you know, a specific end state that you'll have this in 1 year or in 2 years. This is going to be fielding those capabilities that are called for in the document over a time period that goes out to about 2020.